This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Okay, everybody. It is April 10th. I only say the time frame because... This morning I woke up and there's more headlines that I could technically update today, but we'll have to wait till next week. Everything's just moving so quickly. Thanks for all the great feedback we've been getting about the stuff that we've been putting out. We've been trying. I'm probably taking at least 3 to 4 hour webinars every week on a lot of this stuff that keeps moving. So just stick with us, but just realize this is recorded at 8 a.m. on Friday morning, so we have enough time to get it out for the weekend. So, of course, there's probably going to be changes by the time you're listening to this later on. Update on the numbers. Last week, another 6 million people nationwide filed for unemployment. It is just screaming.
Just put that in perspective. The all-time record before that for a one-week gain was 30,000 or 680.
Yeah.
And this is almost, you know, nine times that.
In one week.
Yeah, in 1 week.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's not great. So if you've been paying attention, so Gavin Newsom several weeks ago put out the eviction moratorium. Well, judicial counsel, I can't honestly say I knew that there was a judicial counsel in California and what they did. But on the 6th, they expanded upon Newsom's eviction and foreclosure moratorium. So basically, we just can't do much until the state of emergency is lifted by the state of California. And that starts a 90-day countdown of when evictions can proceed. Now, the order specifically states that judicial foreclosures can't proceed. I did talk to an attorney, and his opinion was that a standard foreclosure could proceed. The problem is, are you going to run into problems with sheriffs and courts being willing to do that with everybody on the stay-at-home order? It's just messy. The Apartment Owners Association and Dennis Block did a presentation on the 7th. If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see the link on the screen. I've created a direct link to it. It was an hour and a half session. And this link on the screen, bit.ly/evictionstop, takes you directly in the video where Dennis Block talks about what the Judiciary Council does and what it means for our industry. I highly recommend it. You've got the Apartment Owners Association and the California Apartment Association doing a lot of great stuff around this.
I just wanted to make a comment. When you talk about judicial foreclosures in California, there almost are none. That's an interesting statement. So
yeah, I don't know what that means, but I think it was the attorney's opinion that we could proceed with a standard foreclosure, but will the courts and the sheriffs abide by and help us get through the process? The answer is probably no.
I think the spirit of Newsom would be to stop foreclosures.
Yeah.
Not 1% of foreclosures.
Correct.
Okay.
Doug is saying that the sound isn't working. And Doug, it's working on our side. So hopefully it's something that can be fixed on yours. People are telling me they can hear me. Sorry about that. All right. Let's see. The pandemic unemployment assistance. This was the CARES. We should start seeing California announce this week that people should start seeing the aid come out. This expands the unemployment up to 39 weeks for those impacted by COVID-19. If you've got tenants that have been impacted by COVID-19, it would behoove you to check out the California Association of Realtor forms and documenting it. If nothing else, to also help your tenants just start to document the process for themselves. They're going to be able to get an additional $600 per week. I don't know if they're going to go retroactive. I wasn't able to sort of get clear on that, but it goes all the way back to March 29th and goes all the way through July. So they said that they're going to start sending it out starting, I don't know if it's this week or next week, but you can find out more information at edd.ca.gov. Okay. EIDL loans. I've heard a lot of real estate investors have put raise their hands for this. Today, April 10th, is when 1099 contractors are going to be able to apply. So when Matt and Amanda did the session for us last week, it was clear that we could apply on behalf of things like our 1099 subcontractors and things like that. That changed almost right away. So now is there time to apply for these? I have not heard of anybody who got the $10,000, to be honest with you. So good luck with that. I don't know how that's going, but today is the day. Property taxes. There's been some talk about, is everybody going to get a break on property taxes? And the answer is no. Newsom released a press release yesterday praising the counties for being willing to work with everybody. But this is what the county said. The county association said, taking care of California is our top priority, and counties, cities, and schools are burning through local reserves to do so. Any delay in payments beyond April 10th property tax deadline for individuals or businesses that can pay will tip local governments into insolvency at a time when residents need us most. Counties will use all existing authority to cancel penalties and other charges. Basically, you need to pay your taxes. I just think it's interesting that they're giving themselves an out for the same thing that they expect landlords to do, but that's just me. So they're not willing to take the same break they've been making us do. Just a heads up on vacation rentals. I think other cities are taking the clue. You had a few more cities, Newport and Santa Cruz, from last week decide that they were not going to allow for vacation rentals that were not COVID related. And La Quinta, Riverside County, had already banned vacation rentals. If you couldn't prove that you were doing it for some COVID related instance, somebody self-quarantining, you were housing a first responder, La Quinta just didn't think that was enough, so they have their own overlays. So again, you really have to pay attention to local housing markets, your local city, county, really understand that who's in control of issuing what. Airbnb did come out with a $250 million host relief fund, so if you are a host, you might want to check out some of the resources that they might have available. When it comes to moratorium and evictions, just be careful to also check the local overlays, just because the Newsom did what he did and then the Judiciary Council came on top and did what they did doesn't mean that you won't have a city that extended it. So really be careful. With that, Dan, did you have anything you wanted to add or mm-hmm. just making notes? Okay. With that, we are really happy to have Karin Hall with us today. We had some questions about retirement accounts. Karin is, of course, the CEO of the UDirect IRA Services, and she's also a board member at the Retirement Industry Trust Association. So she's here today to fill us in on what you can and can't do with your retirement accounts at these interesting times. Welcome, Karin.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Good.
Wow, there's been a lot of change. You know, it's this has been the year of change for the IRA for sure, where we haven't seen much since, remember TIPRA back in 2010?
Barely.
It's been about that long since we've had this many changes. You know, first off, we had the contribution limits rise, and that's normal. You know, we would expect that happened like in October, November. And so now if you have a traditional or Roth, you can contribute 6,000 if you're under 50, 7,000 if you're 50 plus. So that was one, you know, change. And then just boom, the floodgates opened and lots of changes. So one of them has to do with RMDs. This has to do with the CARES Act. The required minimum distribution is waived for 2020. So if you already took a distribution for 2020 and you want to put it back, you can, as long as it's within 60 days. So that's good. And what's also great, you know, as it says here on the slide here, is that it's not just if you're an account holder in your RMD phase, but if you have received an inherited IRA and you're the spouse or the beneficiary and have that inherited IRA, well, then you can also go ahead and not take an RMD in 2020. And the nice thing is it's not like you don't take it in 2020, so you have to take double in 2021. It's not like that. It's just you're not taking it. So that's great. Wonderful. And there's just so much more. Yeah, they came out with this thing called CRD, coronavirus-related distributions. Now, you got to think about this. Retirement dollars are precious. It is really hard to build a retirement account when you've got these caps, these contribution limits. So, yeah, you can tap into your retirement account, but really ask yourself and ask your tax advisor, does that really make sense for you? Because you might want to first look and see, hey, do you have any more PTO or sick leave or vacation leave at your employer if you're looking for extra cash. Let's go back. And then
was this a slide? Am I on the wrong slide for you?
Yeah, go back to the CRD one, and then I'm kind of like this is like a preface here to that that slide.
Okay.
And so yeah, one back, one more.
One more.
And what I'm saying is that you can take these one more forward. And then we're good. But you can take this, you know, CRD, but before you do, I just want to like point this out. If you need money before you dip in your retirement account, again, you know, look and see if you've got any extra PTO at work. Do you qualify for unemployment? Do you qualify for what you're calling it a PUA? I heard it called a PUC, pandemic unemployment compensation, you know, so you might be able to get money that way. Or even if you have whole life insurance, maybe you can take a loan from your the cash value of your life insurance before you tap into your retirement account. But that said, with this CRD that came out with the CARES Act, you can take out up to $100,000 from your retirement account. And so it applies to IRAs and in all plans, really. But with there are two different worlds, two different sets of rules. One is for IRAs. So if your IRA takes a coronavirus-related distribution, a CRD, then it comes out, say it's in a traditional IRA, it comes out taxable. Now, the penalty will be waived, but it's going to be taxable. And then you're going to have 1, 2, 3 years to split up that tax liability. So it gives you a break. If you take the money out of a 401k, well, then it is viewed as a $100,000 plan loan that you pay back to your 401k. So IRAs and 401ks have just totally different sets of rules anyway. And it's the same thing with the CRD. If you take out you know, the money from an IRA, again, it can be taxable. You take the money out from a 401k, you got to pay it back, okay, at the regular IRS rate. So to be eligible, there are all kinds of you know, rules, but basically you have to be diagnosed with this disease, or a spouse or a dependent has to be diagnosed with it. But the one that pretty much everyone falls under is that you have to, in order to qualify for the CRD, you have to have experienced adverse financial consequences as a result of being quarantined, furloughed, maybe you got laid off, you have your work hours reduced because of the virus. Maybe you're unable to work because you can't get childcare. You know, that's possible. I know that's happened with a lot of people. Or maybe as a business owner, you're closing or reducing your hours. And that's happened to a lot of people, or other factors that are determined by the IRS. So that's how you qualify for one of these distributions. But again, before you take money out of your retirement account, it's like borrowing from your future self, or you know, using it now. You're definitely going to need it later. So really think about it. There are other ways you can find money, but like any other kind of exception to a withdrawal penalty, just remember that the CRD, when it comes from an IRA, the penalty is waived. And you can report the amount of withdrawal over 3 years, and there you go. And of course, every state is going to have different rules, so you're going to have to ask the state about whether it's taxable state-wise.
Has there been any documentation suggestion on what people should have on file for this, or just probably the drop of income would suffice?
It's where you basically certify it yourself, self-certified. And then it'll be between you and the IRS to determine whether or not you qualified to do this. Like if you got audited, or, you know, you take this and you get audited, and then they're going to say, well, hey, prove it. And the penalties are, you know, they could put you in jail if you lie to the IRS. So I would not lie to the IRS. But those are the criteria. And by the way, if anybody would like a copy of this, I'd be happy to email it. So there's that.
What I'll also do is I'll put the show notes, the actual PowerPoint slide PDF in the show notes today, so people can download this very easily.
Oh, great!
And if what Matt and Amanda have been doing is, if you get updates on this, I'll update this PowerPoint, and we'll try to keep the PDF updated as much as possible on your show, so people can reference it.
Fantastic. Okay. That's great because it is changing there. It's been about a week since we've had a change, but there are a lot of changes. And some of these, here we go. This is what I was saying before. Before you tap into this money, consider the other resources again, and here they are. So other things you can do to find money before you steal from your future self and take the money out of your retirement account. So there you go. So when it comes to 990Ts, an IRA files a tax form 990T. Like you and I, when we file our income taxes, we file a 1040 as an individual. Well, the IRA files a 990T if it owns tax. And the IRA, of course, would owe tax if there was a UBIT, unrelated business income tax, or UDFI, unrelated debt financed income tax. So the 990T filing, just like the 1040, the deadline got pushed forward. So if your normal filing date would have been April 15th, you get to have that extended out until July 15th. However, there are some different entities that if the 990T would have been due in May, there's no postponement. Okay, but with IRAs, you're filing a 990T, it would be due April 15th. Now that's pushed out to July 15th. So that's good news. You got a little extension there.
Now, a lot of our real estate investors that have self-directed IRAs, they've got illiquid assets. And let's say I have a rental in my Roth and my tenant stops paying. Is there any way, depending on the structure, if I have a business LLC inside the IRA or just the IRA itself, can I be eligible for any of the programs that the government has come out with the SBA?
It would be nice, but no, there's no such relief for an IRA because you have to think about it. You apply for it as the business, or it's not available to IRAs. It's available to individuals and businesses.
But,
I know.
Well, because I was trying to think about if you were able to do that, what if some of it became forgivable and how is that treated? What if you got, you know, 10 grand check from the EIDL program and then, you know, just thanks for playing.
Yeah, well, the way that would be, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, the way that would be weighed is, did you get personal benefit? And so as long as, you know, if something like that were to happen, the way that it's weighed is, was there personal benefit? You know, is it a prohibited transaction?
Is there anything that the Retirement Industry Trust Association has put out as far as guidelines or concerns of things going on in the accounts, things that they're advocating for at the federal level?
Yeah, we're having another webinar today, so we'll learn if there's any update. But last Friday there was a webinar, and that's when I, you know, got all this detail about the CARES Act and how it affects us. So one of the things that, what questions that did come up as a result of that webinar was, it was from Amanda Hahn, and she was asking, are there any limits to trying to think of what it was to, you know, to what your CRD could be used for. And right now there are no limits. They've said, you know, if you're going to take out money from your IRA, you can use it for anything. That causes some concern. Usually there are limits, but right now there aren't any. So we'll see. I'll get an update today from the RETA broadcast, the RETA webinar.
Okay. Yeah. And then for those who are VIP subscribers with us, you got an invite yesterday for our investor town hall where Karin is going to be part of that call. Matt and Amanda Hahn. We've got David Granzella from the Sacramento, the NorCal RIA up there. We got Lisa Hogler with the South LA RIA, Christina Suter with Pasadena Phoebe, and we've got SDCIA. Lenska is going to join us from San Diego, and then we've got Derek Harms from the North San Diego Real Estate Investors Association. We're just trying to hop around and get a sense of what's happening because a lot of this is happening at the local level. So I'm trying to think, have you gotten any specific phone calls from real estate investors regarding their accounts, things that they were worried about at all?
Not really. In fact, where we've had people, some people move idle cash into the stock market, that makes sense. We've only had one withdrawal through this whole thing, like a CRD, only one. And that's great because I really think people need to retain their retirement savings and save it for later. But no, that's really what we've seen.
Okay. Dan, any questions?
Karin, you've got a pile of people that have real estate assets inside of IRAs that could be rent or trust deeds. Are you getting any feedback of people not paying rent or not paying payments? I'm just curious.
We're not getting that kind of feedback because if they're not, it's usually between the account holder and their renter, and it's not something they involve us in. But we still see every day all the funds that come in to the accounts, and it has diminished. I'll say that we have fewer deposits coming in that, you know, like that would be rent. So I think we have seen I don't know, a slowing of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting, I know we'll touch this on another thing, but this whole thing is just different than anything we've ever had before.
Mm-hmm.
So you wake up in the morning and you think, okay, well, and you think about what you could do, and then you go, oh, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Like a movie, or I'll go watch a ball game at night or whatever. And it'll be very interesting to see what the path of return to normal looks like, how much of that will still be on your mind. And the other thing too is there's just a little sense of, wow, I thought I had like all the ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And then something like this happens and your unemployment goes up from what, less than 4% to over 10 or 11% in
overnight.
3 weeks.
Yeah. And depending on how we're able to unwind this, it could reverse pretty quickly, I would think. But it's right now, it's just control. Trying to figure out how to stop this, flatten the curve, and it seems to be working.
Yeah, it absolutely. It's the other part is just looking at how many people are within 60 days of like a major financial problem, that there's no cushion in a very high percentage of people's lives and businesses.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a concerted effort to get that cash out by the end of this month, because I think May is going to be harder.
Yeah.
Everybody's been shut down now for a month, pretty much officially, for most of California. We'll see if I think I was reading this morning, late last night, something else came out, another couple $1 trillion, another kind of business program. We'll update that next week is when I can read it and see what it is. And we
trillion here, trillion there.
Right.
Eventually, it all adds up to some pretty major money.
It seems like a decade ago we were making fun because we were talking about billions instead of millions, and now it's just, man, every decade it's like a new step up. Now we're trillion.
You know, in the IRA world, it seems like back when we look back to the recession, it was IRAs that helped pull people out of the recession. When banks weren't lending, they could go to self-directed IRAs and get a loan. And there's still trillions, you know, with trillions of dollars in retirement accounts, even though the values have dipped a bit. And it's a great source, of lending. You know, if you're looking for capital, that's the self-directed IRA. Also, I think too that after things return to normal, that we're going to see people decide that, hey, maybe the stock market isn't the most stable place for my retirement account. Maybe I need to move into real estate, and have that kind of an asset.
I had to fix that little buzzing noise.
I've been looking for an article and just sort of sitting on. I haven't had time to write. Had some interesting conversations about crowdfunding. And Karin, do you have a lot of clients that invest in those crowdfunding platforms?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. I'm nervous about those. From what I understand, the Jobs Act was going to change to where it was going to be more flexible. And I'm wondering if, depending on how the next couple months proceeds, if that's going to reverse. I'm just afraid of some extra regulation because Wall Street got a little bit too crazy with the credit markets. It's not just that they're going to have problems. It's going to be a reach through to the people holding the ultimate bag. So have you gotten any feedback about crowdfunding? If they're, I know they're all so very different how they're structured. I don't know.
When crowdfunding came out, it was, it was something that was, at least from the RITA perspective, the Retirement Industry Trust Association, it just seemed ripe for fraud. I know that's one of the things we're always concerned about. So if there's more regulation, I think it would be along the lines of whatever fraud comes out of this. But I don't know. We haven't heard much about that. So maybe I'll learn more today on the webinar that I'll be on.
It's just if payments stop coming in, and I know why it's attractive to IRA accounts in particular, because a lot of times it's smaller amounts that you're trying to get to work to have a decent rate of return. And the Jobs Act really made that possible. And crowdfunding was a beautiful platform. It's just whether or not the crowdfunding platforms did a good job with the vetting process, if they did at all, or they were just sort of the conduit of the investor being able to raise money from people. So it'll be interesting to see. We've all sort of had to create on the fly these mini loss mitigation departments working with people that are struggling. And when people are talking about these micro amounts and then you've got thousands of them, if things go wrong, how do these crowdfunding platforms manage that? Will be very interesting. Not easy.
And I think their paperwork is perhaps different in each case. So the one that you and I were going to be on a panel. I was going to be on a panel, I think, with one of them, and I read their document. And if you were an investor in that particular fund, not fund control,
crowdfunding platform, yeah,
you didn't own anything. It was like a loan to the startup company, basically. It was unsecured, and you had no ability to foreclose because you didn't own the trust deed.
Just you had rights to the cash flow.
You had rights to the cash flow, and the cash flow stopped. Oh, well.
Yeah. I talked to another crowdfunding guy. He's like, yeah, it's in our docs that after 3 years, if we can't get the asset, it's just a well. I'm like, what? So
word for word, this was in their document that in the event of non-payment, and I'm not saying this is on every crowdfunding document, but in their document, it said word for word, in the event of non-payment, first of all, you cannot contact the owner because you don't own anything. And we may be busy, too busy to pursue payments because we're going to be busy creating new loans. Literally, almost word for word, that was in the document.
Oh, jeez. Hooray.
Like, what?
I know the specific one you're talking about. I think they really changed gears because the crowdfunding really sort of morphed the first 2 years that it came out. There was a lot of concern of the underwriting to Karin's point. So that was a big conversation that they were just sort of behaving as a conduit. So investors didn't have to deal with offerings on their own. They just had a platform that made it easy and the technology was beautiful, man. It was way too easy to drop a lot of money. So we'll see. I guess my biggest fear is that they decide to regulate our industry again. And for the Main Street guys who have had to follow the rules all along, it's going to be frustrating if we get penalized because some of our technology and Wall Street partners weren't playing nice. So I really hope that doesn't happen. If people have questions that are on the line, please start sending them in. I'm trying to think if I've seen any others come up. I'm just very sad that people can't end up getting PPP loans inside their IRA at Karin. It's just very sad.
Well, I think a lot of people that apply for PPP loans are going to be lucky to see the money. I mean, they're having a fuss, is what I'm reading.
Yeah, I've only seen one person on Facebook tell us that they were able to secure one of those. So I didn't ask how much, but I haven't seen a lot of action, and I know the small banks are having a very difficult time getting through all the paperwork. Sort of the government made it sound like, yeah, just fill out a form and we'll send you lots of money. No.
In 3 days.
Yeah, that's not how that's going to work. You're going to have backup. You're going to have to get very organized. And if you haven't started the process, just know that you need to go to the bank that you have a depository relationship. Start there. It's going to be very difficult at this point to go to a new bank and raise your hand to get help like that. They're very busy with their current customers. So, well, this is only a half hour session today, it looks like. I don't have any questions coming in unless they come in just a few minutes. Oh, here you go. You mentioned no limits on use of funds for CRDs from IRAs. Would the same apply to 401ks? For example, any reason you couldn't do a $100,000 CRD from a 401k? And invest some or all of it in real estate?
Yeah, you could. I think if you're going to take the money out of a 401k, may as well self-direct, though, as opposed to taking it out and having it be taxable to you. Just go ahead and self-direct it and then let the proceeds be, you know, tax deferred. That would make more sense than to borrow the money and owe tax on it. But yes, you can take the money out and invest in anything that you like. And by the way, one thing I should mention is that if you're not impacted by COVID-19, you can only take out the $50,000 max like before. The $100,000 is only if you've been impacted and can prove that. But yeah, you can use it for anything, but it makes more sense invest tax-free, tax-deferred in a self-directed IRA.
When you're taking $100,000 out of a 401k, is that structured actually as a loan?
It is, yes. It's a plan loan, yes.
And what's the going interest rate on that that people should be referencing?
It changes by the day, but it's on the IRS website. It's the IRS published rate.
Okay.
Is it zero yet?
Yeah.
Maybe it's negative. How cool.
Yeah.
But
they'll pay you.
But it's
not quite yet.
So,
because the IRA is for investment purposes only, so it would have to be that a plan loan is an investment. Really, it's looked at as an investment, so you pay yourself back at a profit, and so you're just basically investing in your own IRA, in your own 401k in that case.
Okay. Well, I don't have any more questions, so we'll keep this short and sweet this week, because I know the one that we'll have next week is going to be a number of hours. So any updates on this, and we'll tack it on to our show on, we're taping it on Monday for VIP subscribers starting at 5:30. So all the members of the different organizations are the ones that are invited to participate live. And that will give us all week to end up being able to put it out on YouTube and all our other sources. So, Karin, have you recommend any top webinars that you've seen this week for people to check out?
No, but I want to check out the Dennis Block one you were talking about from the Apartment Owners Association. That's one that I want to check out for sure. And again, where I'm getting my information for IRA, I'm looking for IRAs and what's happening on the retirement venue. And most of that's coming from RITA, the Retirement Industry Trust Association. So that's what I'm looking at.
And I will continue to update our COVID-19 resource page for real estate investors, which includes some resources for tenants at the federal, state, and local level. That's at thenorrisgroup.com/resources, or it's under the free resources tab. It's the very first option when you do the drop down menu. The California Association of Realtors putting out quite a few webinars. They released the new forms for working with tenants. If you're a landlord, I would definitely check those out and stay on top of this. And I'm trying to think, AOA and the California Apartment Association is also producing content. So if you're not a member and you're doing a lot of landlord stuff, I highly recommend you get plugged in and do so. They're going to be a lot better at keeping you up to date on the local stuff as well. Okay, everybody. Thanks so much, and we will see you next week.
Thank you, Karin. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
The Norris Group originates and services loans in California and Florida under California DRE License 01219911, Florida Mortgage Lender License 1577, and NMLS License 1623669. For more information on hard money lending, go to thenorrisgroup.com and click the Hard Money tab.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.